Your able-bodied accomplice.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So this morning we'd like to discuss potential of two introductions of ordinances that address manufactured homes. The first is to address construction trailers and model home sales. Typically, those require a special use exception to the Board of Adjustment for just to place a construction trailer if you're doing construction work. So the intent is to make that a permitted accessory use with a time frame that would be limited by the code. And if we do have some construction projects that go a little bit longer, that they would get approval from the director to extend that. So this way it allows us to track, make sure we know where they are, and make sure that they are removed in a timely manner. So that is the first ordinance that is proposed. If you'd like, I can talk about both of them at the same time.
One at a time.
Okay. So that is the intent of the first ordinance, is just to address manufactured home type structures that are being used as construction trailers or model homes for development in construction applications.
I think this is a very good ordinance.
Yep.
Very good ordinance. I think it certainly is somewhat cumbersome to do what our process has been to do that. So, any comments, questions from council?
Anybody? Is it limited to one?
Typically, there are one. There is not a number specified, so like there are some larger projects they could have two, and we just work with them to make sure that, you know, we know where they are and that we can track them.
But you don't see it going to four or five or six?
No, typically there might be like maybe two, one for the construction trailer and maybe one for the model home for a subdivision application. If we have a really large commercial project, we have one going on currently and they only have one on the site at the moment.
Okay. More questions, comments? Mr. Moore, if you read the short title.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Articles 4, 5, 8, 10, 10A, 10B, 11B, 11C, 11D, 11E, 11F, 13, 14, and 15, all Roman numerals, by amending sections 115-21, 115-30, 115-70, 115-75.3, 115-75.10, 115-83.12, 115-19, 115-83.27, 115-83.34, 115-83.41, 115-95, 115-103, 115-112, and Table 4, Roman numerals, regarding the use of manufactured home-type structures as temporary buildings incidental to construction operations or the sale of lots.
Anybody want to introduce it?
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Burton introduces it.
Thank you. The next ordinance is regarding manufactured homes as they are located within the AR1 zoning district. Again, this is only going to affect the AR1 zoning district. Currently, you can have any type of home except for a double-wide multi-sectional home on a lot within the AR1 zoning district. Currently, for the multi-sectional manufactured home, you have to have a minimum of 3/4 acre. There's also an age limit. If you have not had a manufactured home on the property before, the oldest it could be is 5 years. There's also some other items, and we've gone through the entire manufactured home kind of section trying to clean them up. So we're trying to reduce some of the confusion and update the code. So as proposed, you'd be able to put a manufactured home type structure, a multi-sectional, which would be double wide, on any size lot within the AR1 zoning district, because we have a number of lots that are smaller. Again, not within a subdivision, which is already per the code. So that opens up a number of options, and it also is looking to increase the age of a manufactured home from 5 years to 10 years. So say if somebody wanted to put a 2009 manufactured home on their property, they, with this code, they would be allowed to do that if there had not been a manufactured home there before. And then a few other items are just trying to clean up, getting rid of, there's some requirements for special use exceptions if it's a smaller lot. However, there are other codes that prohibit that. So we're just trying to clean some of those items up.
Sure. Questions?
I have discussion. For the sake of discussion, I think that since manufactured homes have increased in their quality very, very much since the 60s, 70s, and 80s, I would like to maybe see this go to 15 years instead of 10. Because if we went back to 2004, I think the quality of those mobile homes or manufactured homes have gone up so much, so rapidly since, you know, back in the day. What do you guys think?
We understand they have to use something besides skirting in these manufactured homes. Isn't that true?
Correct. They have to be set properly, and that section of code is not changing. So the requirements for the placement of a manufactured home are going to remain. So they'll have to have the footers. They'll have to have it tied down.
Right.
They have to have skirting. All of those requirements are still remain.
But you can't use skirting if you're going to make a permit.
No, it does actually require skirting for a permanent placement.
It doesn't have to be a Class C, though, right?
Class C is when you retire the title.
Right.
And that's for assessment purposes. That has nothing to do with the placement of, because it means you can no longer move that manufactured home once it's become a Class C. It is physically permanent. It can no longer be moved. And that's what the Class C does.
This does not require that.
This does not. This is only, all this is impacting is where they can go, the size of the lot, and the age of the home. The rest of that is not being addressed.
Is there any, if we did consider 15 years, would there be any other application of a standard to ensure that the home is in reasonable shape, you know, and not, you know, completely deteriorated and destroyed?
Well, they do have to come get a permit for placement,
right.
And we would have to make sure that the placement is in, that the placement of the home is in good condition,
so
because it has to meet our minimum code requirements.
So there's an objective standard they'd have to conform to be able to gain occupancy.
Right. We have there's the housing code that we have, and then there's the requirements in the zoning code for the placement of a manufactured home.
And it would be inspected prior to granting occupancy.
They are inspected multiple times prior to the issuance of a certificate of occupancy.
And this would permit a single wide, a double wide, or even a triple wide?
So the code right now only allows for double wides, for the multi-sectional, and that is not being proposed to being changed. It would still allow for multi-sectional. Again, if you have an existing single wide, you can replace it with a single wide. That's not a problem. But the code, and again, we're only talking AR1. Other zoning districts do allow manufactured homes as a permitted use. This is only in the AR1, which if you do not have, if it's a vacant parcel of land, it would have to be a multi-sectional, and currently it has to be not more than 5 years old.
So if you have a single wide, you cannot upgrade to a double wide?
No, you can upgrade it to a double wide. You can go single wide to double wide, double wide to double wide.
You can't go the other way.
You cannot go double to single.
Okay.
And that's actually in the code. We put that in the code. And again, if you have an existing home, if you say you have a 1969 manufactured home and you want to replace it, it just needs to be a year newer. That is not changing. It's just for any new, where you have a vacant parcel of land and there's never been a manufactured home, this is what this code, these changes would impact.
And triple wides are excluded from this?
No, you could have, it says multi-sectional,
okay.
So a triple wide would be permitted because
would
it's
be.
Multi-sectional.
Got it.
I didn't understand that way at first.
But there's not a quality inspection.
Well, I mean, it would have to meet we have a housing standard. We also have requirements that it has to meet, you know, be able to be hooked up correctly, you know, for all of our other requirements for, you know, water, sewer, you know, electric. So it would have to meet those requirements because, and again, those are coming from the manufacturer. So when the manufacturer is, we get the information from them, it says it meets the requirements of that code, then we know it's meeting those requirements of that code so it can be placed in accordingly.
Do you see any issue going back 15 years as opposed to 10?
Not off the top of my head, I don't. But that is something that for for council to make that determination.
And that's something we could always, if they should, amend it at the public hearing.
Absolutely. It could still be introduced as it is.
Sure.
During the public hearing process, you could decide to amend it based upon the input from the public.
Okay.
Without central water, without central source, he cannot put this double wide on a piece of land unless it's a 3/4 acre lot.
Right.
And that's what we're going to try to amend.
Yeah.
Is to allow, because there are a lot of smaller lots in AR1 that is that currently exist. You could put a stick wide with a septic. Why? So if we're looking to allow for the manufactured home with a septic.
We're going to be able to amend that to a smaller lot?
And they still have to get the DENREC approval for the septic.
But central source says you've got to be at least 3/4 acre lot.
There are other requirements in...
Natural resource says that.
Right, but there are waivers that can be granted for existing small lots that people do go through for DENREC to get
unless a... Unless we go to a central store. If you go to a central store, you can go smaller.
Right.
Correct.
You can go way up to 8 almost, but you can't. But you cannot do it with that central store. You have to be at least a 3/4 acre lot. I've been through that.
So hopefully this improves our efforts to improve the situation for affordable housing in the county. Mm-hmm. Make more opportunities available.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to buy land for them?
Any more questions on this? Any more questions on this? Mr. Moore, if you'd read the short title, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Articles 4, 25, 26, and 27, all Roman numerals, by amending sections 115-20, 115-23, 115-187, 115-196, and 115-210, regarding manufactured homes and manufactured housing.
Want to introduce it?
I will introduce it.
Mr. Hudson, introduce it. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Have a good rest of your day. Grant request, Mrs. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first grant request is Autism Delaware. They're requesting $2,000 to support their annual fundraiser, the Blue Jean Ball. The Blue Jean Ball helps fund both family support services and adult vocational services in Sussex County. Last grant received was $2,000, which was $400 from each council member. Mr. Burton placed on the agenda.
Burton, I would like to see if you gentlemen would do the same thing.
Was that a motion?
That was a motion.
Okay. Okay. Motion, Mr. Burton, second, Mr. Hudson. Grant $2,000 to Autism Delaware for the Blue Jean Ball fundraiser, being $400 each council bank account.
So where's the ball?
I have no idea.
Where's the ball at?
Where's the ball?
It was in Rehoboth Beach last year.
But I think it moves around.
It's out on the ocean?
I would hope not. It's in Rehoboth Beach.
On the shore?
So, on the sand. Very little knowledge, probably. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure. Any questions? We'll take a look, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Next one is Mason Dixon Woodworkers is requesting $1,200 for their Christmas toy program. A donation of $500 is able to produce 50 toys with a value of approximately $2,000. They hope to make 1,300 toys this year. Last grant received was $1,100, which was $220 from each council member. Mr. Riley placed on the agenda.
Riley?
And again, I'd like to see if you gentlemen would join me in doing the same thing we did last year.
Hey, how much money this year?
1,200. And last year was 1,100.
So 1,200 would be?
Be a slight.
$240.
$240 each.
That's your motion?
That's my motion.
Motion, Mr. Riley. Second, Mr. Wilson, to grant $1,200 to the Mason-Dixon Woodworkers for Christmas toy program, being $240 from each council bank account. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
And next one. Seaford Elite Travel Football Club through American Youth Football is requesting $4,880 to help with the operational cost of their football team and cheerleading squad. The boys and girls that participate in the program live in low-income housing in Laurel and Seaford. Last grant received was $500 from Mr. Vincent, and Mr. Vincent placed on the agenda.
Somebody make that same motion?
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Burton. Second, Mr. Wilson, to grant $500 to the Seaford Elite Travel Football Club for expenses from my council bank account. Questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Next.
Okay, next one. Lewis Public Library is requesting $1,500 for their fourth annual Shakespeare Festival. This festival provides educational and formal events through lecture, cultural enrichment through discussions and workshops, and entertainment through concerts, films, and live performances of plays. Last grant received for this event was $1,500 from Mr. Burton, and Mr. Burton placed on the agenda.
Burton. I would do the same, $1,500.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. The grant, $1,500 to the Lewis Public Library for Shakespeare Festival expenses. Mr. Burton's council bank account. Mr. Burton's going to come back and perform for us. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Okay. And the last one is Georgetown Historical Society is requesting $12,500 for building maintenance on several aging buildings of the Marvel Museum. Last grant received was $5,000 for landscaping, which was $1,000 for Mr. Riley and $4,000 for Mr. Wilson, and Mr. Wilson placed on the agenda.
Mr. Wilson.
I think it's a good deal. So we have our carriages come through the parade on eternity. And it's
so how much money do you want to give them? The same as you did last year?
I mean, most of y'all get 2,000 apiece.
This you will, do?
This is a worthwhile project here.
Okay. We have a motion, Mr. Wilson. Have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Have a motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Riley. The grant, $10,000 to the Georgetown Historical Society for Marvel Museum building maintenance, being $2,000 for each council bank account. Question on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
No.
I vote no. Motion carried. Introduction of the zoning ordinance, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have two. The first one is in Mr. Vincent's district, an ordinance granting conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for indoor and outdoor retail sales to be located on certain parcel of land lying being in Nanticoke Country, Sussex County, containing 0.8474 acres, more or less.
I'll reduce it.
The next one is in Mr. Burton's district, an ordinance amending the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an MR medium density residential district and AR1 agricultural residential district to a B2 business community district for certain parts of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 0.8016 acres, more or less.
Burton introduced it.
That's all.
Council member comments. The council member comments. Then motion to go to executive session for land acquisition.
I got it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Burton, any questions? Take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson? Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I'll be yes. Downstairs, Mr. Lawson.